Praise the Lord. Praise God. It is awesome to be here this morning. It is exciting. I am excited for what God wants to share with us this morning. You can actually be seated if you want while I type in the password. My screen timed out while we were worshiping. So, this is the last Sunday of February, and it's the last Sunday of our four lessons that we've done for the month of February for our adult Bible study. So, how many people know what the overall message is for the month of February? You can yell it out. It's okay. Discipleship. It's also at the top of your thing, your piece of paper that you get every week. It's the same one. Series 3, Following Jesus, which is discipleship. Following Jesus. In week one, we talked about propelled into purpose, and we talked about how Jesus was sent into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil, and he used God's word to get through the temptation. The kids that week, the message they learned, because the kids are going through the same thing, was, I will learn and use God's word to resist temptation. In week two, we talked about not being stopped by rejection, that rejections will happen, and that's okay. We want to follow Jesus. And the kids that week, their message was, no matter what happens, I will do what God calls me to do. No matter how the situation in my life is, this is what's going on. That's okay. I'm going to do what God says. Last week is week three. Pastor Phil taught, and he talked, the topic was choosing to be a disciple. We choose to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus. And the kids' lesson that they got was, I will choose to follow God and be a disciple. This week, the title of the lesson is Following the Teachings of Jesus. So we're wrapping it all up the last month. This is the last topic on following Jesus. Although, if we really wanted, we could go all year long on the topic of following Jesus, because that's literally what we're trying to do, right? And the one thought, for the kids, their thought is, I'll be a disciple of Jesus. But I always try to go to this big idea here on your piece of paper that you get. There's always a big idea for the week. The big idea that you'll see interwoven into this message from me and from this curriculum that we have here is that to be a disciple of Jesus, I must follow his teachings. If you want to be a disciple of Muhammad, you should follow his teachings. If you want to be a disciple of Buddha, you should follow his teachings. If you want to be a disciple of Warren Buffett, you should follow his teachings, right? So we should follow the teachings of the person we want to be a disciple of. That's what it literally means to be a disciple. We've talked about rejection. We've talked about choosing to be a disciple. But this week, I want to talk about what it means to follow Jesus. For example, when I say follow Jesus, what do you think most people think? Is it waiting for some loud voice? Is it waiting for some burning bush? Some step-by-step GPS instructions? Brother Gaskey, turn left right here. This will be following God at this moment. Yep. No, you missed it. Please do a U-turn. Nope. Maybe we think that's what it is. Is it selling everything and removing to a remote island and becoming a missionary and living off the land? Maybe. But I think sometimes we get it confused. We make it bigger than it is. Following Jesus is this bigger. We're looking like, what does following Jesus mean 20 years from now? And Jesus is like, no, I'm just asking you to follow me right now in this moment. And if you follow me in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, in this moment, you'll get to the 20 years from now where I want you to be. The title of the lesson is Following the Teachings of Jesus. Oh, that's really simple. Let's just follow the teachings of Jesus. But it's not so simple. It's not so easy. And so today we'll talk about following Jesus. And my goal, the goal of this lesson, is to hopefully change your mind, your paradigm of how you think about following Jesus. What it means to be led of the Spirit. And how we do that by following the teachings of Jesus. So remember, the big idea for today, to be a disciple of Christ, I must follow his teachings. And that includes how we interact with people, just so we're all clear. Sometimes we forget that part. As we go throughout this lesson, you'll see me pointing to ways about how we're following Jesus by following his word. We're going to give concrete, good examples. Hopefully good, right? And the text for today, there's a big, long text. And I'm going to encourage you at the end to go through this. But Luke 6, verse 20 through 49. It's about 29 verses. It's a great verse. Sometimes I think the Beatitudes are in there. The Sermon on the Mount is in there. It's really great stuff. And we're going to go through that. But the focus verse for today is Luke 6, 46, which says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? Now, that is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. For those of you that are worried about that, that was recently on Twitter. Dr. David Bernard, he definitely put his thumbs up to that version. So if you have any issues, please tweet to him, please. Is that okay? Okay. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do the things I say? So this is Jesus speaking, and he's literally saying, well, you're saying you're following me, but you're not doing the things that I'm telling you to do. And I think this applies to us today, too. So we're going to start in verse 20, and then we'll go to 21. And you can have your Bibles open if you want to read through, but I'll go through the verses rather quickly and then talk. So verse 20, he's looking to his disciples, and he says, not to the people that are sitting around the mountain just enjoying the show and the food. He's looking to his disciples, and he says, you who are poor are blessed because the kingdom of God is yours. You who are hungry are blessed because you will be filled. You who now weep will be blessed because you will laugh. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we think they're bad or they're stressful or they're difficult, and we try to avoid them maybe because we think of those things. But Jesus is saying, no, these are blessings. No, but how could it be a blessing when I'm stressed out and when things aren't going right and I can't communicate with my wife? How can that be a blessing? Because it's causing me to actually try something different. It's causing me to think about my life differently. These are opportunities to grow and learn about ourselves, to try God, because nothing else seems to be working. Jesus taught us that life will go well for those who learn to value things that are opposite of what the world celebrates. That's a key lesson here. He taught us that life will go well for those people who learn to value things that are the opposite of what the world celebrates. Life will go well for the poor who have given up their things for the kingdom. Many of Jesus' followers found themselves in poverty. Several, however, chose poverty by leaving their jobs and comforts of home so that they could follow Jesus and thrive spiritually. To buy into the kingdom, we have to stop clutching onto the things of this world. And I think it's easy for us to say, okay, let's talk about money. And that's a good thing. Let's talk about our cars or our houses. Let's not clutch onto those things. We do need some of those things to get around, right? But it's also clutching onto the ideas and the value systems and the thought processes of this world. This can include the physical, but also the values, like I said, but also definitions of success. God is showing us to start thinking differently, to stop following other things because they don't work, and to start following Jesus. But suffering is going to happen, right? In verse 22, it says, you are blessed when people hate you, when they exclude you, insult you, and slander your name as evil because of me. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. That's like, not just like, be happy. It's like, rejoice, leap for joy, like be super ecstatic about it, which doesn't make sense, which is the kind of an underlying theme here. Pretty much everything I'm telling you doesn't make sense. And that's why it's faith, right? We do it by faith. It says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Take note, your reward is great in heaven, for this is the way their ancestors used to treat the prophets. So you're like, you want to be like Isaiah and Samuel and these great Jeremiah prophets? They weren't super popular either. If we're going to have ownership in eternity, then persecutions are going to happen. And rejoicing in them is the way that we identify with the prophets. That's what he's saying in these two verses. But there's a balance here, right? I'd be amiss if I didn't just call it out, right? God is not calling us to be weirdos or idiots. He is not calling us to make a mockery of ourselves so that people will persecute us. I think sometimes we as Christians get that confused. Well, he said to be persecuted, so I'm going to go be a jerk to people. I'm going to go get in people's faces about things. And God's like, no. You follow me. And by the way, when you do, you'll be persecuted. Not when you try to be persecuted. This is really relevant now due to all the stuff we're going through in the last 2 years, and I will leave it at that. We also learn from these two verses that we can expect that those who rejected Jesus to reject us. Oh, but I don't like rejection, Peter. I don't know what to tell you. That's what it is to follow Jesus. Like, you're going to be rejected at times. Well, people might not think I'm cool. Well, that's part of it. It's okay. This, once again, does not give them an excuse to make them reject us. Jesus still showed love to everyone, even to the moment. I say this all the time to people that are like, well, you don't know what they did. You know what? To the moment before Jesus gave up his last breath and died. What were two of the things he did? Number one, he said he showed mercy to the other guys on the cross with him. And number two, he looked down at everybody that just brutally massacred him. And he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. That does not make sense. When I am hurt, when I am offended, I want to go do something to that person. And Jesus had all the power in the world to do it. And he stood up there on a cross for something he didn't do. And he said, Father, forgive them. There's an example to follow. He said in John 15, 20, he says, remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep your word. So how should we respond to this rejection? Well, I will choose to make peace. I will choose to follow peace with all men and holiness. Because without that, we're not going to see the Lord. And that was me quoting and paraphrasing. Life will go well for people who have pure hearts. Many so-called Christian things have been done out of selfish motives. Many so-called Christian things are done out of selfish motives. Not only does what we do matter, but our motives behind what we're doing matters. We must give, we must lead, and we must sacrifice out of a pure heart, not underhanded motives. No one can be a peacemaker and be proud. Proud people blow up under pressure. They cannot receive correction. Being a peacemaker is smiling and loving, even when falsely accused. Sure, our world may excuse a bad temper, but it is not discipleship material. Jesus' list reveals the new set of values by which disciples are to be driven. His list says, this are the values that you should be driven by. And so we go down to verse 24. But the world values, which he said, these are my values. And we know that the world values maybe something a little bit differently. He says, verse 24, but woe to you who are rich, for you have received your comfort. Woe to you who are full, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are now laughing, for you will mourn and weep. You're choosing the pleasures of today and the things not of me, which seem great, and you're happy. Look at all these people. You can just go on social media. Everybody's perfect. Everybody's life is awesome. Their houses are clean. Their kids are great, right? My house is not clean right now. My wife is out of town, and so I'm behind, okay? He says, woe to you, for you will mourn and weep. While celebrating the poor whom the world despises, Jesus also warned that doom would come to the rich, for they had already received their consolation in this life. Those who are self-satisfied in the luxury and in their possessions and in pursuing their best life now. Well, I got to keep up with so-and-so. And well, I need to get a tractor like Pastor Roy has. And, you know, I want to get this hot rod like Brother Jerry has. It's like I got to not worry about other people's lives. I'm going to worry about my own story. C.S. Lewis said in his book, I read it with my kids, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The kids, there's four brothers and sisters, and they're always talking to C.S. Lewis, the lion, Aslan. And Aslan is, he kind of represents God and how we interact with God, right? And the kids are always like, oh, hey, Aslan, I saw you talking to my brother and sister over here. What did you say to them? He goes, you know what? You should worry about your own story. Here's the story I have for you. That's a whole different message. We can talk about another time. We don't have to hit rock bottom to get to a right heart. We can choose brokenness in our heart. We can give money. We can give resources. We can give meals. We can give times. We can separate from our comfy life for a time. And we can start to choose the way of God, to follow him. If we struggle to be hungry for the things of heaven, it's because we are too full of the things here. Sometimes we need to hunger for breakfast or lunch or supper before we feel that hunger for righteousness. Those who fill themselves now will starve eternally. That's where fasting comes in, by the way, as we start to help our bodies. Scientifically and medically, it's proven that fasting is a good thing at times. And now they're just proving that the Bible has been right all along. So not only is there like a physical and a mental and all that a benefit, but what Jesus is saying, there's a spiritual benefit as well. As we begin to put aside the things of this life, the things that we think are important, the things that our flesh or our body desires, and we say, I want to focus on the things of God, he starts to open our mind to hearing so that we can hear what he has for us. Jesus turned common first century values completely on their head. The Christians at this point in time were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They cared about being noticed going to church. They cared about being noticed praying, being noticed giving. They would have loved Instagram. The Pharisees and Sadducees would have loved it. Because right back then, they had to go to church and like stand in front of everybody. Lord, look at me. And they're praying really loud so everybody can hear them. And it's just a show. They wanted to be noticed. It wasn't about their actual relationship with God. It was about the ritual. It was about the rules. It was about the religion. If there's three things you'll never hear me talk about in a good way, are rituals, rules, and religions. I want to talk about relationship. I want to be closer to Jesus. That's what it boils down to. If something helps me be closer to Jesus, call it whatever you want it, but I want to be closer to Jesus. And to do that, I know I need to follow him. And to follow him, I need to follow his teachings. Jesus came and said, hey, everybody, I'm here to do this a little differently. You all want to show off what you're doing? I'm not asking you to do that. So when Jesus came, he started to change the value system. And so because of that, I will choose to value what God values. Disciples of Jesus value what Jesus valued. They value what God values. And what does he value? Well, first and foremost, God values people. He came to this earth for people. He built this whole earth and said, everything's good, but something's not good. I need people. God values people. Therefore, we must value people. All people. True disciples of Christ will love their enemy. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Nope, it does. He said to do it. So it doesn't make sense, but we have to do it. We'll love their enemies. His followers help make life better for those who make their lives miserable. Believers do good things for people who hate them. Disciples of our Lord pray for the people who despise them and antagonize them. We are no better than sinful people if we only help those people who treat us kindly. You want to start following Jesus? Start implementing these next five verses in your life on a daily basis and tell me how challenging it is. Verse 27, but I say to you who listen, love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And in the King James Version, it says, for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, but you don't know, Brother Peter. You don't know what this person did. It was unforgivable. Pray for them. Pray for blessings in their life. That doesn't make sense. They don't need to hear about it. Jesus said, pray for them. And so that's where we should stop it. And if you've still got something in your heart, then we should tell God that we want to forgive them. God, I need to forgive them. And then you wake up the next morning, you see Brother Ben, and you're like, oh, I've still got that anger for Brother Ben. He really, really got me. It's like, you know what? God, I need to forgive Brother Ben again today. God, I forgive him. Help me to forgive him. I might need to forgive him tomorrow. 70 times 7, who knows? If we respond rudely to hateful people, they will only notice how we have behaved and will not see their own actions. And they will not see Jesus inside of us. They may see us as mean people and tell others, one of those Christians said this to me. Go look in the Bible at the people Jesus hung out with, not his disciples. He hung out with the prostitutes. He hung out with the lady with the five different husbands. He hung out with the dirty people, the wrong people, the sinners, the demon-possessed, all the people nobody wanted to be around. And when he was with them, he wasn't judging them. He saw the woman that was in the act of prostitution, and they're all about to persecute her because she's clearly against the law. And he looks at her and he goes, there's nobody around accusing you, which is cool because he was there too. So that shows he wasn't accusing her. He goes, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Man, could we have that mindset? Could we follow Jesus in that way? I'm going to repeat what I said here. If we are rude to hateful people, they will only notice how we have behaved and will not see their own action. They will see us as mean people. However, if we give forgiveness, we will get back the same. Those who do wrong do not need a disapproving glare. They need forgiveness and kindness and mercy. I was reading a book recently, and I read the speech. Dr. Martin Luther King gave a speech entitled The Birth of a Nation, The Birth of a New Nation. He was talking about how, and this was back in April 7th of 1957, he's delivering this speech, and he's talking about how the African-American culture at the time was experiencing what they were experiencing, a lot of prejudice, a lot of bad things towards that culture. He said, we're coming out of this. It's a good thing. We're coming out, but there's a lot more work to do. And he made this. This is his quote. He said, we have got to revolt in such a way that after revolt is over, we can live with people as their brothers and sisters. Our aim must never be to defeat them or humiliate them. He said, we have to go. He used a quote from Nkrumah from Ghana. There was an uprising there who said that we have to respond. We cannot respond with violence. We need nonviolence positivity, or positive nonviolence is what he said. It's interesting. I've been reading this about all these speeches. And really, they're not speeches. He was a preacher. His doctorate was in theology. He spoke. Every one of his speeches is just chock full of God's word. He understood what it meant to follow Jesus. If anybody had a right for how people were treating him and the people he was representing to go out and be crazy, he probably did. And he said, nope, that's not how we're going to handle it, because I want to have these brothers and sisters after me. I want to have them after this is over. He understood what it meant to follow Jesus. Even in the midst of insurmountable odds, even in the midst of, like, that doesn't seem logical. True disciples of Jesus will do the things he says. Believers are people who do, not just talk. Disciples develop by watching other believers' lives, and we learn to give. As we learn to give, those watching us will learn to give too. As we learn to pray, those watching us will learn to pray too. As we learn to fast and to witness and to serve, those watching us will do that too. Disciples make disciples like themselves. Yeah, that's really encouraging. And so you start thinking, ooh, hold on. Well, we want more of us, more of me. Am I following Jesus, or am I making disciples of Peter Sandin? Because if I'm making disciples of Peter Sandin, this is going to be a really bad church. I don't recommend you come. It's just true. There's a gentleman named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I'll mention him later, but he had a quote. He said, only he who believes is obedient, and only he who is obedient believes. We sit here, we're here today because we claim to say, in some way, at some level, there's some sort of faith that says, I believe in God. But Jesus in Luke 6:46 said, you call me Lord, you say you believe, but you're not following my teachings. Our words reveal what is in our hearts. If a person lives in the works of the flesh and does the things of the flesh, then that person is not walking in the Spirit. Eventually, the words that come from our mouth will reveal what is in our hearts. Even though our actions say one thing, our words will give us away. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. In verse 45, it says, a good man produces good out of the good storeroom of his heart, and an evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom of his heart. So storeroom of his heart, what we're putting into our lives, the things we're putting into our lives that we say matter, that's what's going to come out in those moments. So if you're putting good things, if you're putting the things of God into your heart, then when the tough times come in your life, the things of God will come out. Brother Arnold was doing a podcast or a YouTube video, and he said something. He was talking to a young people, and he's like, you can't take anything out of your pocket you've never put in your pocket, right? And so we can't have the good things of God in our lives if we're not putting the good things of God in our lives. If we walk in the Spirit, if we are led by the Spirit, if we follow Jesus, then there will be fruit. And that's what it's saying in this verse. Verse 44 says, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Those are the fruits that come out of God being in our life. So in verse 44, in this same message, 6:44, he says, for each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs aren't gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes aren't picked from a bramble bush. The kind of tree, where you're planted, how you're growing, that's the kind of fruit you'll produce. So we are known by our fruit. You've heard me say it before from this pulpit. I've preached it. But fruit is the byproduct of being in the right soil and in the right sun and in the right water. It is the byproduct of time and nourishment in the right conditions. But we try to grow fruit ourselves. Instead, we should be trying to get into the right environment, the right situation, the right nourishment. We sit there instead and say, orange. We're just hoping this orange pops out. Oh, patience. Patience is a byproduct of being in the right situation, nourishing yourself in the right way, living by the teachings of Jesus. We try to grow this fruit, but instead we need to be in the right environment, situations, and nourishment. We should care about the things we let into our lives. If we develop the relationship with God, then the good things will come in and out of our lives. The Bible says that honor comes after humility. It also says that the God who hears you in secret will reward you publicly. Yeah, but I want some honor. I want people to notice me. You know, I want to have this great prayer life. Well, then start praying and quit trying to have a great prayer life, right? We're focusing on what is seen. We're just like the Pharisees and Sadducees. We're focused on being noticed. Like, well, look, I believe. I'm in church. I have a tie. I showed up today. And Jesus is like, that doesn't mean you're following me, Pastor Roy. You got a tie on, but that doesn't really mean anything, right? He says, your actions. Once again, verse 46, you call me Lord, and you wear the tie, and you show up to church, but you don't do the things that I say. And then we'll be identified by the fruit that we bear. And just so you know, we're all different. Pastor Roy's been speaking about we all have different gifts. Our fruit might look a little bit differently. And you know what I have to say about that? Focus on your own story. Focus on your own story. I don't know. I don't know if I could ever have the fruit Brother Seidel has. I don't know. I just know that God has fruit in my life. And if I'm focused on him and following his teachings, the fruit of God will come out of that. I don't need to focus on the fruit. I need to focus on being planted. We hear the story in this verse too. This is at the end of the verse. So all this whole thing, and then at the very end, we hear this very popular story about the two houses built on the rock and on the sand. And he's teaching us that if we build on the right foundation, which is his teachings, because he just got done saying that, he starts in verse 36, you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. So let me tell you a story about this. One guy did what I said, built his house on a rock, on a good foundation, on my word. The other guy built his house on a sand. He did it where he wanted, how he wanted, when he wanted. And when life happened, one of them was still standing. That's what he says in verse 47. He says, this is the person who follows me. So the tree with good roots and the house with the solid foundation will last. We must construct every aspect of our lives intentionally on the principles of the kingdom of God. Our thoughts, our emotions, our friendships, our outreach, our finances, our private time, our eating, our work, our conflicts. We must do all with God in view so that our light shines to others and they will see and glorify him. They will see and glorify God. God will be glorified in our lives. We can ask the Lord to open our eyes to possible areas of our lives that have been built on unstable foundations. Is everything we do built on caring for others, the way we take care of ourselves? Is our giving out of a pure heart or self-glory? Is our giving just to do it because I'm checking off a rule? Is our giving coming out of this natural desire to serve God? We can be very giving and very involved in ministry and do all the things that look right and still have no relationship with God because it's just an action at that point and the intents and the desires are in the wrong spot. And that's almost the worst place to be because in that place you feel really good about yourself and you don't have to face the music. I'm getting ready to, we'll be done at 10:45 here, but I just want to close with some good examples. We think that following Jesus is him giving us this step-by-step directions. Like there's this journey and it's a GPS that's going to tell us to turn left in 400 feet. We think it is this ultra-clear direction for every decision. Well, you know, somebody called me the other day and offered me a job, Pastor Roy. What? I mean, I didn't hear from God yet this week. I don't really know. What's the will of God? We're looking for these big moments. The problem is in this big moment, we're here thinking about this decision and God's back there. And he's like, if we were walking together, you'd hear my voice in these moments. And when we don't hear or see this clear direction, we give up trying. And then we start defining following Jesus as receiving the Holy Ghost, which is good. We want to repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost, just like the apostles did all throughout the New Testament, so that God can live in our lives. That's good. We want to come to church, pay our tithes, give. We want to help out. But we stop there and we say, that's following Jesus. I've followed Jesus. I'm here. But guess what? The problem is that our lives are not changed. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Yes, it includes repentance and baptism, being filled with the Holy Ghost, because those things are in the Bible and we're to follow his teachings. So those are good. That's a great start. He says, you know, something in the Bible is interesting. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's doing that to say, if you follow the things of me, it'll be easy and it won't be hard work. I created a meme a while back for work because there was this person I was working with. I'm like, I can't get this done. And so I created this meme of Patrick from SpongeBob. Most of you don't. This is the adult class. Most people don't. And he's like building something because I work in construction. And there's like these hammers and nails. And he hammered like a piece of wood to his head on accident. And I wrote, some things are easy to do, but hard to get done. And spiritually, I say that's because of our flesh. It's easy to do, but our flesh says that doesn't make sense. Our brain and our thought patterns are not on the same level as what God is saying. And we're like, that doesn't make sense. That's not logical. I have to love my enemy? I have to pray for them? But they punched me in the face. They said this rude thing about me. They unfriended me on Facebook. Or for the young people, Instagram or Snapchat or wherever we're on now, right? Whatever it is, whatever the flavor of the month is. Our belief systems. So let me give you some examples of following Jesus. And this is the paradigm shift I want to help us with today. Following Jesus is following his teachings, right? Remember the verse? And why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I say? Following Jesus is following his teaching. So let's think about some of these things. We've all had these happen to us. Don't try to pretend you haven't. Someone wrongs you. What does it look like to follow Jesus? To forgive them and pray for them and ask God to bless them. But Peter, that's not logical. I didn't say it was going to be logical. That's why it's faith. That's why he says it's a walk of faith. Every day, take the step that doesn't make sense. Not the stupid step. Not the, I'm going to go be an idiot. But like the step that does, well, this doesn't make sense, but it says it in God's word. Brother Caskey said something really rude to me, but you know what? I'm going to forgive him. I don't need to tell him now. Brother Caskey, I'm the bigger man. I forgive you today, just so you know. You know, that's not what he said. He said, go into your corner and you pray and ask God. Say, God, I forgive him. I don't need to go tell him that because then it's about me and not about God. Okay, what if someone's in need? What does God's word say? It says we read the story of the Good Samaritan. I love that story because at the end of the story, you know who the neighbor is? Me. I'm the neighbor. Which means everybody's my neighbor. And so everybody I'm supposed to treat that way. Yeah, but you don't know. That person's dirty. They don't deserve it. It doesn't matter. I'm the neighbor. What about, you know, work or hobbies? Well, what does that look like? Well, to follow Jesus means to put God first. And what does it look like to put God first? It means to schedule God first. Put God in your schedule first. Make sure there's time for prayer every day. Whatever you have to do, that there's time for prayer and reading God's word and keeping your commitments to God and his word. Say no to the things that get in the way of the commitments you make for God. But Peter, I can't. I'm just super busy. Nope. There's never going to be a good time. So you might as well start now. I thought when it was just me and my wife and we were freshly married and we're both working two jobs, like, I have no idea. There's no time to pray, Pastor. I don't got any time. I'll do it when things calm down. Yeah, four kids later, things have not calmed down, by the way. Life is not getting any easier. Newsflash, life does not get easier as you go. You get better at doing it and you get way better at doing it if you're following the teachings of Jesus. And putting him first. Well, how do I protest injustice? Well, I could go to the Bible, but I already showed you what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. According to God's word, nonviolently. You want to have brothers and sisters when you're done. Pray for them. How do we handle anger? Oh, I got really angry, Pastor Roy. Well, the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. How do you do that? Well, I would take that anger to God, not to the brother, not Brother Jay. I'm so angry at you, but I am going to give it to God. No, it's God. I am angry. I'm very mad, and I need to give this anger to you. How do I respond to a sin? And the musicians, you guys can come up here. How do I respond to sin? Or do we do that? Do we do that at the end here? I only do this once a month, so you'd think I'd know, but either way, we'll keep going. How do I respond to sin or a mistake in my life or in others? Micah says, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." Well, but that doesn't make sense. I did wrong. I should feel guilt and shame, and I should just feel real bad and just keep doing bad things. No. Get it behind you. Keep moving. Well, what about the things that I'm letting into my life? The Bible wants us to be separate. I want to tell you a quick story here, and I know I'm pushing it. I watched a movie a while back. Probably a movie I shouldn't have watched. I don't remember how many years it was. But there was this movie where a guy went into it was in a remote area. He had a truck, and he went into this store to get something. And he left his, like, 7-year-old daughter in the back of the truck. He literally walked in, got the something, and walked out, and his daughter was gone. Fear followed me from that movie. Fear followed me from that movie. I live in Marshall. It's a small community, great people. Quick Trip is our biggest thing, right? And like, I am nervous about walking into Quick Trip. I shouldn't be. I trust most everybody in that community. We know so many people. It's awesome. But because I let this in my life, fear followed me. We have to be careful about the things we let into our lives. It's like, well, that's some stupid rule. Forget the rules. Jesus said, don't let certain things into your life. Well, what about when times are hard? What about when they're difficult? He says to worship. But it doesn't make sense. Why would worship help? I don't feel like worshiping. Yeah, I know. That's why it's called faith. It's following Jesus, even in the face of not making sense. What about prayer? Oh, prayer is hard. Well, it was hard for the disciples. Multiple times he's like, hey guys, wake up. You fell asleep again. Your spirit's willing, but your flesh is weak. I could go on and on. We have to start acting like the way God's word, we have to act like what God's word says about me, that I am loved, that I'm righteous, and I'm valued, that I'm bought with a price. You want to start really getting into the fun of it? Start looking about what God's word says about your marriage, how you should love your wife as God loved the church and gave himself for it. Not jumped in front of a bus for her, but desires, you gave your desires, your priorities, your assumptions. Oh, but I think she really, I don't care what she really, God says to love her. What about your boss? Oh, but my boss, that's unfair. I don't care. You're supposed to obey and submit. They have the rule over you. God has given us what to do. How to follow him. We just don't like it. We don't like it. You can stand with me this morning. I'm going to close up and we're going to go to prayer here. Almost always, never the first thought. We always walk in the flesh. We're born in the flesh. It never seems logical. But we need to follow Jesus by following his teachings. To be led of the Spirit. And we can't be led of the Spirit if we're spending time, if we're not spending time with the Spirit to hear his voice. We can't follow Jesus if we don't see what God's word says for my life. Oh, you like what I did there? God's word for my life. That's what we're doing. I can't follow Jesus if I don't know what God's word says for my life. That's why I have to read God's word. I have to memorize God's word. I have to meditate on God's word. I got to delight in it. And then I will be like a tree that is planted by rivers of water, and I will bring forth fruit, not me, sorry, bring forth, will be fruit will be brought forth in its season, and everything I do shall prosper. That's Psalms 1:1. Because I am rooted in God and in his word, because I look specifically in his word for saying, okay, this is how I feel, this is what I think, what does God's word says? God's word is truth, and everything else is a lie. Start using that as your marker. But I'm angry. What does God's word say to do? But they offended me. What does God's word says to do? But I'm depressed. What does God's word say to do? Worship. But I'm depressed. Worship. But I'm depressed. Worship. It doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense. It's faith. It's blindly walking and saying, this is what his word said. I'm going to do it. This is what his word said. I'm going to do it. You could put up a quote I have here. There's a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. How many of you ever heard of him? I turned 40 in November. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was 39 years old when he was murdered, when he was a sad, whatever the word, fancy word is, by the Nazis. He was a Christian. He wrote the book, The Cost of Discipleship. And one of the quotes he had is that the first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. The call of Christ sets up a barrier between man and this natural life. And so if we are to follow the call of Christ and to follow Jesus, then we cannot be attached to this world. We have to be attached to what God's word says about this world. Your homework for this week is to read. You're going to do this. Hopefully you're doing this every week, every day. It's really beneficial. But your homework for this week is read Luke 4, 20 through 49. And ask yourself. And maybe you got to read that. That's 29 verses. I'm not telling people to not listen to Pastor Roy and do, you know, Proverbs every day, because that's really awesome too. But maybe you got to read one of these verses every day of the month. You know, and just say, hey, love them that hate you and pray for them which spitefully use you and persecute you. Okay, I need to do that. Remind yourself of what it means to follow Jesus. This is what the paradigm shift is. We follow Jesus by following his teachings. And we can't follow his teachings if we don't know them. And so we know them by reading them. And so, like Pastor Roy was saying, Pastor Phil was saying last week, when we talk about reading God's word, it's not just something you're doing. You're trying to, okay, what does God's word have for my life today? So I want to pray this morning. I want to pray that God would open our eyes. So let's just pray that God would help us this week. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see what your word says for our lives. God, give us the wisdom to see the situations and to use it. God, give us the courage to follow your word, even when it doesn't make sense. God, increase our faith in the moments, God, when it doesn't make sense to follow the things of your word. God, help me to follow you. Help us, help this church, God, to follow you, to leave the cares of this life, the logic of this life, the mindset of this life, the definitions of success, the values of this life, God, the ways this world would have us react, and to follow you. God, keep showing us how to follow you by following your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Two quick announcements. If you have kids, you can go get them in the checkout. Also, one thing, Sister Leandra, can you wave your hand? This is Sister Leandra's last Sunday. So if you want to say hi to her, shake her hand. She's probably going to be in the kid line. So anyway, God bless you. Have a great day. The next service will start in 10 minutes.